to talk about 2 Peter tonight. 2 Peter chapter 3. Do you want a Bible, Mitch?
Yeah.
There's one up here. You can get you one if you want.
You want one up there, Mitch?
Here
you
go. There you go, my friend.
Which version do you have? No, yours, Mike.
It's NIV.
Can King I get James. You to get a King James?
Absolutely.
Hey, man. Maybe there's a reason I had to get off my ass again. Man, you look slimmer. In the whole deep?
How you doing?
Hey, Burnett. This is Mike Burnett.
Burnett,
and this is his son Mitch.
Glad to meet you.
Man, you're getting around good. You feeling good?
Yeah. I get up and give you a hug. But, I didn't want to chest something. All right.
Man.
Can I show you why we don't? Would you do me a favor? We're going to spend a minute. Look in the NIV. Go to Matthew 6.
I forgot I met you.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry, man. It's great to meet you.
Matthew 6, and read the Lord's Prayer.
You get me.
We're looking at the difference between NIV and the King James.
Matthew 6, read the Lord's Prayer, verse 10.
Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
No, start at 9, I'm sorry.
Start at 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth.
Does it say it in earth?
In earth, yes.
Well, it also says that in King James, too.
Well, I know it says it in King James. But I thought he had the NIV, which I didn't think said it. Is it New International King James?
I think that's what it is.
Oh.
New King James.
Okay, well, that's good.
Just got it today as a gift.
Good.
Most of them say on earth.
Yeah, every other translation says, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why, if you know, the kingdom of God will never come on earth, because the kingdom of God is within you.
In here.
So anyway, let's go to 2 Peter. Chapter 3. All the way at the end of the Bible. What page is it, Peter? Oh, no. You
can't. 1675 thereabouts. Do
you have the...
In his, it'll be 1265, probably.
1265.
Chapter
3. This is the last book that Peter wrote this just before he died. He was crucified upside down in Rome in AD 64. And it always amazes me to read the last book that somebody wrote, whether it's Paul in 2 Timothy or here, Peter in 2 Peter. So anyway, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and say, where is the promise of his coming? Now that could easily be translated, where is the evidence of his presence? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Now what that means is, and Jesus spoke about this, he said, everybody wanted to know what the signs would be before the end. And his answer was, there shall be no sign given except the sign of the prophet Jonah, who was swallowed up for 3 days in the belly of a whale. And he it says, that's where it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They shall marry and be given in marriage. They shall do their business. Nothing will look like it. Nothing will look like it. There's no sign that anything is going to happen. Now, for this they are willingly. They willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now, everything in the world perished at that first flood. There was not even vegetation left. And that was the flood of Lucifer. In Noah's flood, everything didn't perish. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, this is kind of bad.
Depending on where you are.
Well, if the body, his church, will rise up to meet him in the air. But the earth and those that dwell on the earth are made into post toasties. Yeah. Every writer, without exception, of the New Testament, whether it was Matthew or Mark or Luke or John or Jesus or Peter or Jude, every writer of the New Testament believed that this would happen in their lifetime. Now, unless you have some religious guys that know more than the writers of the New Testament did, don't pay any attention to them. Do you think something has to happen before the end? Are there signs that have to take place before the end? And you've been deceived.
Well, it's already over.
From God's standpoint, let's go to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel's right after Ezekiel. Daniel is considered by just about every scholar in the world as the definer of what the end time looked like. And that's what this chapter 9 is about. He defined what had to happen before the end came. And he gave some specific times in which this would happen. He gave a way of figuring it out. And so let's look at it. The first part of the first 19 verses of Daniel 9, he's confessing his sins and the sins of his people. And then he said, "And while I was speaking and praying," in verse 20, "and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God." And we got to stop here because this is so important that prayer is one thing. Everybody prays. But supplication is the most important thing. And supplication says, the only way I have of telling you what supplication means in the Hebrew is it means putting your head in the mouth of a lion and trusting that if God doesn't want your head to be chopped off. So watch, it says, he says he's praying and in supplication. And then watch what Gabriel says to him. He said, "Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel," who was the angel Gabriel, "whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation," or the evening sacrifice, "and informed me, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come to give forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth." It wasn't at the beginning of his prayer. It was at the beginning of his supplication. At the beginning of his supplication, at the beginning of his supplication, when you have said to God, "I am yours without condition, it matters not what happens to me. I have no agendas, I have no plans, I am yours without condition. At the beginning of thy supplication, I have no investment in anything, I'm yours without condition. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I came to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." Now, if you are in a state of supplication, you also are greatly beloved. Because at your supplication, that's the only time that Jesus Christ is revealed in you. As long as your mind has ideas and opinions, then because of his humility, he will not occupy where you are. You can have all kinds of ideas about what God's doing and what he's going to do next. But unless you are in the state of emptiness, he can't be revealed in you. And that's what supplication is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As long as you have an investment in tomorrow, you're not in supplication. As long as you have an idea of what's going to happen next, you're not in supplication. As long as you have an agenda, you're not in supplication. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now, listen what the 70 weeks are for. Look at carefully what it says. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. That is all there is. Now watch. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, that happened. That commandment is in Ezra 7 and 8. And it happened at 457 BC. And the 70 weeks are 70 weeks of years. So it's 490 years. Exactly 490 years from the time the commandment came forth to go forth and build Jerusalem.
How many years?
490 years. That comes out exactly to this time that's talked about, and I've got a chart that shows you, and everybody makes fun of my chart. But in other words, all these things were finished with Christ. When Christ said it's finished, and you remember, every writer of the New Testament thought the end of the world would come in their lifetime. Now, do you still something else have to happen for you? Do you think something is going to happen? It could come in your next breath. Does something else have to happen? When Jesus said it's finished, he wasn't kidding. When the sun darkened at the cross, at his death, the sun darkened. And that became, in Jewish calculation, the night begins when the sun's darkened. We have been in the night of the last day for 2,000 years. And the reason that night has lasted so long is because his people have so many ideas of what needs to happen, so many things going on, that they refuse to be disciples. Now, my only purpose in being is to show you and anyone that'll listen that it's finished. That a disciple is one for whom nothing else is left to do. And when you know that you know that you know that, then all these harebrained theologies about you're going to get raptured and you're going to go up there and then come back down and you go back up again, they're all crazy. They were invented just 100 years ago. And that's nothing in time. Let's go see where they get the idea of raptures. Anybody ever hear of the rapture? Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Did you ever hear of the rapture, Mr.?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about
Trey. Oh, absolutely.
Trey.
Absolutely.
So what have you heard about the rapture? I'm being facetious.
Well, Christ for the nations, this is an enormous debate amongst them. Well, amongst, I think, mainly
debate.
Pentecostals.
They don't debate it.
Well, sure, they do. At least the people that I would interact with. There are a lot of people with the train of thought that it happens. This
All right,
is
I want to show you something.
Interesting, though, because I didn't even know what passage it was found in.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Well, the word rapture is not in the Bible.
But yeah, I mean, they got long-running book series on this stuff. I mean, they...
Movies made of it, everything else. I want to show you. This is pretty important. Everybody at 2 Thessalonians?
I'm not. I don't even know where it is.
You believe in the rapture? You don't know where 2 Thessalonians is?
After Corinthians...
That's 1600. No, that's 1500.
Would I give anybody a hard time?
Okay.
No, 2 Thessalonians, right? It's right after 1 Thessalonians.
That's a real good job.
Your cruelty is kind of.
He's trying. He's getting me back. All right.
After Ephesians.
No, this is. Curmudgeon is a guy who's just moseying around, but cruelty is another whole level, man. All right. Yes, sir. Radioli, I'm. Let's move along.
Your little friend is such an ass. You know that?
We were partners for a long time. I'm telling you, it was great.
Yeah, it's your partner.
What?
On the street.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go.
Pretty tight.
Now, I've been telling you since the day I started preaching that the day of the Lord was at hand, right? Next could happen in the next breath.
Amen. I'm sorry, did you ask me a question just now?
I'm saying I asked you if that was right.
Oh, by all means.
All right, so then you got it. What we're about to read, you either need to pay attention to me or run from me, one of the two. All right?
Go ahead.
We beseech you, brethren, by the presence or coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Well, right there, you got to run from me. Right?
I've often given the consideration for other reasons.
Well, you've also ran from me. For 15 years or something like that. All right. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the scripture that for the basis of the Antichrist setting up the temple in Jerusalem, and he's going to be sitting on that temple after the 3.5 years the temple will be built. Within 3.5 years there's going to be, things will be good, and then the Antichrist is going to set himself up in the temple. That's what the rapture says.
Yeah,
but here's what it, here, there are two words that are translated temple in the New Testament. One is naos, N-A-O-S, in Greek, and it just means the Holy of Holies and the holy place, the inner sanctum of the temple. The other is hieron, and that means the entire temple complex with all the sacrifices and all of the. Now, right now, there are groups that have raised over $16 billion, Christian groups, to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem because they believe that Christ cannot return until the temple is being has been rebuilt, and this is the basis of that scripture. But they didn't check the meaning of the words. The meaning of the word for them, their temple that they're rebuilding, is hieron. The meaning of this word, or the Greek word for temple here, is naos. And that's the word that's used exclusively when it's talking about you are the temple of God.
Amen.
Now who then is this? That man shall, the day shall not come until there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Well, and if you're the temple, and this man of sin, the son of perdition, has been sitting himself up in that temple, he opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that it worships, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. The only person he shows is himself.
You know, isn't that totally, you talked about how that's buttressed by the rider of the white horse in Revelation.
Oh yeah, we can get there in a minute. But I'm just telling you that that man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, is you. And his number is 666. And the 666 is on your forehead, because if you look everywhere in the scripture where it talks of writing on the forehead, it's about, that's a parable for how you think. Your mind can never be at rest, And that's, it can never reach seven. So it's 666666. Goes on forever. You can never be at rest. Seven is rest. And whatever is written on your temple is written on your right hand, because you do what you think. So the man of sin, the son of perdition, has been revealed, and it's Nick.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And Mitch.
And Mike.
And Mike. And me. And Pete. But especially Nick. And Trey. And...
I get a pass.
No, you don't.
I got protection.
No, you have idolatry. How much are they paying you to wear that?
I gave you a layup on that one.
How much are they paying you to wear it?
I gave you a layup. Go ahead. Nick, you got a target on it. Get that one off.
I got to admit, Burnett, don't get me wrong, but I wouldn't wipe my shoes with a cowboy shirt. But
what's that one you got on? Yeah, I wouldn't wipe my ass with that
one. Cheating out of
We'll see if I'm out Sunday, I guess. Always going. He doesn't like Nick.
See, what one thing, Mike, over here, nobody plays at being nice, you know. Let me put on my Sunday persona, and, you know, everybody speaks his or her mind, however nonsensical, however ugly it can be said.
Who's to say he knows what the fuck he's talking about?
I still keep the smile, and, you know, I share the joy.
Oh, God. Can I go and throw up?
Back to
you've lost control, Ollie. You've lost control. Back to 666.
It never makes it to seven.
But seven isn't the goal.
Eight is
the goal. Eight is resurrection. Six is labor. Seven is rest. And eight is resurrection.
Seven is kicking a field goal.
But eight cannot apply to you. Eight only applies to him in you. Yeah. Now, so I believe that the day of Christ is at hand, because I believe that the man of sin, the son of perdition, has been revealed. Well, that's kind of big.
Yeah, it is big.
That's what you can you understand why Jesus said that if you follow him, they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service? Not because you're an idiot, but because you're a threat to every form of thought that exists on the face of the earth. Evangelism, and this is for the others, some of you have heard this, but first century evangelism was exactly opposite of what it is today. Today, you have people with signs that say, I am second, and pamphlets that tell you how to get people to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. In the first century, if someone came to the community and said, I want to be a part of this, they would say, you fool. Don't you know that you will lose everything you once held dear? Here's some scriptures. Go away and think about it. And they went away and thought about it. Most of them went away and never came back. But the ones that went away and thought about it said, I still want to be a part. The second rebuff. And say, you fool. Don't you know you'll be hated of all men and they'll call you demon-possessed? You won't be able to get out of your chair.
Let me move that up for him. It's okay. You okay, bro?
No, he's not. He's fell on his ass.
That rod's on my ass. I'm going to give birth to a teacher.
So the second time he comes back, I still want to be a part of it. And the leader would say, you fool. Don't you know they'll call you, you'll be hated of all men and they'll call you demon-possessed? Here's some scriptures. Go away and think about it. came back again. I still want to be a part of it. And the final one is, you fool. Don't you know they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service? And if he said yes, then he was embraced and accepted into the community. What we do now is exactly opposite. And we've made a joke out of Christianity. It's a friggin' caricature of the real thing. It's not a threat to anybody, because it's been co-opted by society. It's sick. I don't care what any model of the church is, except the model in the first century. And I've spent 40 years studying that first century. And by accident, we've created here this community the way a first century church was. We didn't know this when we were doing this. But a church had to have at least 10, but no more than 20 people. When it got more than 20 people, then they moved to the next house and started another group. And then, slowly but surely, communities were formed. In the first century church, 40% of there were no paid clergy. There was never a building called a church. 40% of the budget, of the money they took in, went to meet the needs of the poor in their communities. Not to build buildings or go on some campaign. We've turned this mystery of God upside down. And it just breaks my heart. And then we have these jokers that we invest. You know that we investigate religious fraud. Those guys would have, the leaders of the church, they were spoken against by name, by Paul. And yet here, everybody's so afraid of getting sued, they just let them be. Because they're afraid they'll lose tax deductions for their church. Well, who in the hell cares about tax deductions? Anyhow, let's go to one more verse. Let's go to Revelation 10. We could spend all night in Revelation. That's what Nick wants me to do.
Long drive.
What happened? Did you hurt your back when you fell back in?
No.
You're lying through your teeth.
Give me some water.
Do I?
Yeah.
Nope. The first three chapters, actually the first four chapters. Yeah, really the first five chapters are the preparation for the rest. And it's, when you hear people say Revelation, they always say Revelation. Go to the book of Revelations. No, it's not. It's the Revelation, and it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it cannot be understood in linear time, because it was written from outside of time. It was written from eternity. That's why wherever you see the angel talking to John, he always says, come see, come see. And he pulled him out of time and showed him all of time. Eternity is not some long, long time. That's our English language. Eternity is ha'olam in Hebrew, and it means no time at all. And forever in Greek, it's just as long as time lasts.
Where are we at?
Revelation 10. Anyway, and then the action starts really, and when it starts, it goes, when the seals start to be opened, it's all hell breaks loose. And then it's sort of an interval here in chapter 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now I think I know what the seven thunders were uttering. They were revealing who the Antichrist was. It was you and I. But the bride wasn't ready yet. That's what all this book is about. It's a love story between Christ and his bride. And there's, after the cross, there's only two left, the whore and the bride. There's not nations anymore. There's no more bond or free or Greek or Jew or young or old or black or white or male or female. We are a new creation, made of the same nature as Christ himself that was shed on us on Pentecost. I can't teach you anything you don't already know, but I can only be a witness to what you already know, and it's something that'll go deep within your heart. If it's true, it won't be something you learn with your mind. Amen. What are you doing, Trey? You're reading ahead again.
Yeah, I'm looking at the passage.
Which passage are you looking?
I'm just reading right here, chapter 10, 3, 4, and 5.
All right.
So what?
And the angel, verse 5, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which therein are, that there should be time no longer. Now what we've just read in 2 Peter chapter 3 about the heavens and the stars and the universe melting is what happens when there's time no longer. The only thing that gives space dimension is the passage of time. Once this angel stands and says, time shall be no longer, and everything in the universe will have to pass through a dot that's smaller than your eye can see. And that's what Paul, that was what's described here. Can you hear that?
Isn't it only to establish fact that all the matter in the universe now would fit into what? A
dot that's smaller than your eye can see. I've told this story often here, but when I was in high school, we had a calculus. I went to a really neat high school that offered calculus anyway. They all probably do now. But this, the teacher gave us a weird assignment. And that is, we had to compute the size of the container that would hold everything in the universe. All stars, all constellations, everything in the universe, if space were removed. And this was in the 50s. And everything in the universe then.
God, you're wrong.
What?
Passing thought.
God, you look old.
Oh, oh man, I'm just overwhelmed with the love.
This is the 50s.
Anyway, before I was so rudely interrupted. Before I was so rudely interrupted twice, once by a Puerto Rican and another by a cowboy fan, everything in the universe would fit into an 8-ounce water glass if you remove space. Because the only thing that makes this hard is the molecules are moving fast. The only thing that makes water soft is because the molecules are moving slower. The only thing they're moving this is like no resistance. It's because the molecules are moving really slowly. But everything in the universe would have fit into an 8-ounce water glass. Now they've gone deeper and deeper and deeper into the atom. And now everything in the universe, every constellation, every star, the billions of constellations and hundreds of billions of stars would fit into a dot that's smaller than your eye can see. In an instant, all that has to pass through that dot that's smaller than your eye can see. And I believe it'll happen in my lifetime. And I'm old. I don't believe there's time for stuff, for concerns about anything except love. Now, whether we go to Revelation 13 or anywhere in the Bible, go to Genesis. It's all just one story. It's a love story between Christ and his bride. It doesn't sound like a love story when you read this, but it is.
Well, hit a little on, I still don't get it all, Revelation overriding all of
time.
The other books of time and space.
Well, every book in the Bible in the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, there are parables, types and patterns for Jesus Christ, for Messiah. It says it. Jesus said, all the law and the prophets and the writings prophesied only of me. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the four, they represent the four cardinal points of the compass, so we get a total look at who Jesus was and is. And all the letters, it's a fulfillment of everything in the Old Testament. And all the letters are either the fulfillment or the chastisement for not being the fulfillment of Christ in his people, the fulfillment in you. And then the book of Revelation sits over all of time. It's always true. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, no matter where you are in time. Except that what we just read, when time is no more, then it loses its purpose. Amen? Amen. Any questions or thoughts?
So you think we're at the end? A lot of people saying that. Keep
Mike?
Hoping they're wrong, but I fear you could be right.
Why would you
great to
were wrong?
A lot to think about. That's what I liked last weekend. There was so much to think about. It lasted for weeks. Enjoyed it.
This is more fun.
Or it's so much to empty of.
Well, I'm just curious.
Oh, that too. And to work on that way.
I don't know.
There's an ancient prayer. Let me say it. And so, Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal self, live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me, be thou made flesh in me. I have no self but thee, I have no will but thine, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. Everything in this must be made flesh in you, and it's made flesh by testing. It has nothing to do with. And you can't even hear it until you've come to the end of this thing. You know, before I was a pagan, I'm an atheist.
Well, this morning or just this afternoon?
I'm going to just ignore him. And my only rule was rules are for when brains run out. And brains ran out. And there he was. But don't be deceived. Let no man deceive you by any means. All right. Take it, big guy.
Hi, I have something to talk about. the three of us, morning Bible study that we talked about. how risky it is to say and do what's there, not, what's the word?
Not govern, have no governor.
I don't have no governor on it. Thanksgiving's tomorrow, and my whole family's at the house, and of course I left a minute to go. Where are you going? And Kent, my brother, he's a great guy, but nobody wants him to come to Thanksgiving. I mean, how cruel! It's just like
him come here.
He is coming.
That's what he's going
to
do.
What do you mean they don't want him to come to Thanksgiving?
Oh, you don't understand, Kent.
You just don't understand.
Yeah, Kent's he's on our list to come. So.
He is.
He is on our list.
But I had to be the one to, you know, say like, you know, you're not invited. I mean, they just can't handle, you know, you being there the way, you know, just the way you, they can't handle it.
Oh, I understand.
And so what really hit me hard was, I sold out. You know, I bit my tongue. I'll bite my tongue tomorrow and not say things that I should say, or do things I would do. I'll put on my Thanksgiving best, you know, as opposed to doing what's risky, and that's just saying, fuck you, I'm going to the block.
Well, I mean, you gotta, there's two things that have to, the two witnesses that never died in here, there's only two men in the Bible that never died, prophecy and wisdom. There's Enoch and Elijah, the two men that never died. And those are the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, and they're in all of us. And prophecy is bubbling forth. That's what the word means. It means just saying what's there. But then Enoch stands next to Elijah, and he's wisdom. Now, sometimes you don't just bubble forth, because then you hurt people, or you without having a reason to. And so there's wisdom and prophecy. They're always there. They work together. All right?
You got it.